Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Hollywood Casino Press Box, featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Oh, baby, baby,
Beck Shoe Polishers, built in the USA for 80 years. BeckShoeProducts.com is the name of the company. Bought the business about 25 years ago, Mr. Beck did. And they're now located in Edwardsville, Illinois. It's the Crow Machine with the pole switch red, black buffer brushes, by far the most popular model. Years ago, a Crow Machine was featured in an American Express ad with Jerry Seinfeld. By Beck Shoe Polishers are a unique, original, and distinctly American product. It is a great gift for Christmas. If you go to BeckShoeProducts.com right now, you can get that gift for a man who has basically everything. Chrome, brass, and black powder coat finishes. It is something special. It's like going back into the 1960s. It's a great gift idea for your dad or executives or for maybe college graduates. All right. This just in from Coach Sunkett at East St. Louis. This Jeff Thomas thing doesn't look like it's going to happen for Missouri. Maybe Illinois is back in the picture, so who knows? I'll tell you, this recruiting thing, it's fluctuating a lot. Wednesday is National Signing Day. Mizzou, I know, is going to have a good day in St. Louis. May not get everybody they want, but they're going to have a fine day.
And so this is the early signing, right?
Yeah, which is a good idea, I think.
Right, so they do the early signing, and then you still have the February signing, right?
Exactly,
the National Day.
Martin, they're going to get the kid from Parkway North, Jelani Williams, who I think is just like an assassin. Oh, I forgot to ask you. On our all-time teams that we came out with, the question marks were catcher. I went Simmons over Yachty, can see both ways, and I went Roland over Boyer at third. And then Brock Musial and Edmonds are my outfielders. I put Edmonds over McGee and over Kurt Flood.
I think the Molina debate I'd lean maybe towards him just because of defense, and he's considered now by almost everybody to be an automatic Hall of Famer. And I think he also, it's not fair to Ted, but Yachty has had some postseason moments.
Absolutely.
And has had some really clutch hits. And I got to say, La Russa early on said, oh, this kid will hit. Don't worry, this kid will hit. And we're like, was he 1 for 40 or something that one year?
Yeah.
It was beyond brutal.
He wouldn't pinch hit for him in crucial times, and he did that to help his long-term psyche.
Yeah, I think because of the Gold Gloves defensive work that maybe I would go, that's a tough call. And I wasn't old enough to see Ken Boyer, who was beloved by teammates
and an
and
MVP
fans.
One year.
Yeah,
I just think Roland at his best, and granted, it wasn't that long a period because the injuries, you know, really destroyed the end of his career. He was the best defensive third baseman outside of Brooks Robinson. And man, you know, the guy hit 40 home runs.
And Roland was here, what, all told, 5.5 years,
yeah.
5 to 6 years. And John Mozeliak has said, that's one big mistake I've made by trading him that offseason, because he and Tony basically dictated the trade. He said, I wish I would not have done that. It was his first year as the GM. And you think about how fans view Roland. Like, he's not quite beloved, you know what I mean? Because I think if he'd been here a little longer, even if he got hurt, if he had just been here a little bit longer. I mean, he was one of the MV3s in that stretch there.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy, well, he didn't hit 40, but he hit 28, 34. He had some, you know, he actually drew some walks too, had some great on-base percentages. Yeah, his OPS is, boy, he had a 910, 915, 1,000 OPS. Boy, he had some good seasons.
And he's another one of those guys that he's not a Hall of Famer, but if the line keeps shifting a little bit because of the defense combined with the offense, like we talk about with Edmonds, you know, he almost gets brought into that conversation because he was such a dominant defensive third baseman.
He did get to 2,000 hits. I think, did Edmonds not get to 2,000 hits, Brian? Is that correct? Yeah, that's going to hurt him. But Roland's at 300 home runs, 1,200 RBIs, and maybe 7 or 8 Gold Gloves.
And I would say not a Hall of Famer, but again,
that committee, as long as La Russa's not on it.
Right. Wouldn't it be crazy, like, if it came around in 5 to 10 years and Roland's on the panel or on the ballot, and then Tony's in the room?
Yeah. He's not in even in the Cardinal Hall of Fame, is he? No.
No, he's been on that ballot for fans to vote. That's what I'm saying. I think if he had stayed here longer, I think his popularity.
8 Gold Gloves, 7 All-Star Games. And remember that thing they used to do at the All-Star Game? They would ask the players to vote on who would they want their son to play like. And Roland would win that all the time.
And just a quick thought on Mike Shildt. I heard your conversation with him. I just love that. And people get tired. Oh, the media loves Mike Shildt. No. Fans should enjoy a manager who's willing to come on, have some fun. He's answering the question. He's giving you a hard time, saying you came in hot today, hot, you know, bringing in the heat, asking him specifics about players. He just seems to be a guy who has got a great job and knows it and loves his job and is not miserable. And a lot of people get in that position of power. They work their whole career to get an opportunity like that, and they seem miserable. And you're like, why wouldn't you be having fun? Mike Shildt sounds like a guy who's having fun, who knows he's got a great... And they did go 13 games over 500 with him in charge last year, even though they faded that final week. Sort of a choke job that last week, when you look at those games with the Brewers and then into Chicago. But he, on the whole, had a good run there, 13 games over. So if people say, oh, the media likes Mike Shildt. No, if you heard that interview, I think you would like Mike Shildt.
Absolutely.
As a fan.
How about, too, the decisions he's going to have to make with that starting staff if Reyes is healthy? So if Reyes is healthy, he's your most talented. Michaelis has been your best. Carlos has great stuff. That's 3. Flaherty has to be in there 4. So it's Waka or Ueno at 5.
And we haven't even mentioned Hudson.
All those, Ponce de Leon,
all these young guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if they'll still, not that you want to get rid of too much depth, but if they'll still use one of those starters for some kind of deal here, potentially. And I think Reyes, haven't they said they don't want him starting right away? I feel like they've indicated that.
But that can all change.
But still, I mean, God bless him. I hope he's healthy this year. Because how much fun would it be to have yet another just young stud in the mix?
Especially at his level. I mean, I think, don't you think of all the guys at their best, he would be the best? I mean, although it's been such a short period of time where we saw him.
Right. Yeah, I mean, really dominating, like even on that rehab run, striking out like 2-plus guys per inning on the road back. Although, if you had to say right now who you're most bullish about in that rotation for next year.
Probably Michaelis.
Is it? I was going to say Flaherty, because I think
he's
ready to hit that next level, you would hope. And he's got a little bit of that edge that we've talked about. He's got a little bit of a attitude, which probably helps him on the mound. Even on Twitter, he can be kind of defensive. He likes to argue about basketball. Bob Nightingale had winning rookie there last year. A little bit ahead of the game, but I'm excited to see Flaherty from day one.
Frank, what do you mean this just in from Sunkett? It was a text from Darren Sunkett from today, and I asked him what's the latest on Jeff Thomas.
Was it that confusing? You said this just in with Darren Sunkett.
So, and believe me, the whole recruiting thing is extremely confusing. I'll grant you that. And, you know, I just report what people that are close to the situation tell me, whether it's coaches or actually the actual person or something. So,
when they're kids, too.
They can change their mind.
Kids can, let's be honest, kids flake out a little bit or they like attention and then they...
Sometimes they donate $20 to bands and grocery stores.
Correct. Sometimes they really cut into the Christmas budget for their own presents. I should have told them that.
And Missouri, by the way, even if they don't get Jeff Thomas, which it looks like it's trending that way right now, but who knows what could happen in the next 40 hours, even if they don't, they have to remain with a really strong, good relationship with Darren Sunkett because he's got some juniors there that are really good. His seniors are not the Missouri caliber SEC, but he's got juniors. And with the way some of those East St. Louis players have played for Barry Odom, boy, you got to keep that pipeline there.
Yeah, I think if you're Mizzou, you're opening the door, you're trying to make it work, you're finding out if there's interest by Jeff Thomas. But if he doesn't end up going there, as long as you pursued him and opened the door,
that's probably
still a win for your program in that you were hoping that he would come there. If he chooses not to go there, that's okay. But, I mean, as far as the relationship.
Yeah. I think maybe the most important thing for Missouri in this offseason is going to be Albert O and his decision.
And it sounds like, because Barry Odom said that last hour, that he's likely not playing in that bowl game. So if he is limited right now, that maybe...
Yeah, don't you think that helps?
Not to be selfish as a fan, But maybe that helps you a little bit. If he's not really 100% right now, maybe he holds off on going to the combine and all of that. Maybe.
What would you do? Let's just say that does knock your draft status. We're just assuming something. Let's just say that drops your draft status to the second round, okay? You don't drop that far, but because you didn't play and you're hurt, you really didn't go through a lot of these workouts. But isn't it better?
Second round sounds pretty good, though.
Yeah, you still make good money. You don't have to go to class.
Like if it's you and I, we're probably going, unless he feels, and Coach Odom pointed out, there's, you know, the education part of it. Maybe he wants to finish a degree or whatever.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
That for some of these kids, while you're there, it's easier to get it done. That could be, we never take into account the academic part of it.
Yeah.
But for some of these kids, it might be, hey, another year on campus, maybe I get that degree done.
Well, like with Jonte, that's going to be a real similar situation. That as soon as he got hurt, I thought, boy, this is actually, that means he'll probably come back and play. But then you think about it, you know, his knees, he had the tendonitis and he's had some issues with them. Do you really want to risk hurting that knee again and not signing a contract and getting paid for anything? So I don't know. I think it's almost more likely that he'll leave. Do you think he'll come back and play next year?
My gut would be no, that you'd have to go pro. But where would he fall, having sat out a whole year? And it's not necessarily fair, but I think they'd say, well, the brother got hurt, now he got hurt, so it's gonna raise some red flags. So what's his draft status? That'd be fascinating. We get a little closer to that at the end of the basketball season. What's his value at the NBA level?
How about this one from Goat Boy? Players with
like hearing Frank say, okay, let's go back to the text. Goat Boy.
I need to write down these times and just splice together an audio package of Frank just reading these text names.
This is a good one from Goat Boy, though. Players with a 70-plus career war, okay? Adrian Beltre, Barry Bonds, Derek Jeter, Chipper Jones, Rafael Palmeiro, Albert Pujols, Alex Rodriguez, Scott Rolen, Pete Rose.
These are players not in the Hall of Fame. Chipper will get in, Beltre will get in, Albert will get
Chipper
in.
Chipper is in, right?
Chipper is in.
Chipper's in.
That is supposed to be an old graphic, but Palmeiro probably not because of his very, very strong lying in front of Congress. Pete Rose can't. Bonds probably on the eventually, but not for a while.
Albert will.
Yes.
A-Rod.
I think A-Rod will because he's helped himself post-playing career with all his media stuff. I feel like the hatred of A-Rod has softened.
It has, but he's like, you know, one of the bigger liars like Katie Couric on 60 Minutes.
Yeah, I think he's, I mean, he's one of the poster children for the steroid era.
But gosh, he could play.
But it does seem to be, I guess there's a softening of the stance within the Hall of Fame. You know, the Rolen thing's interesting because if they could roll out enough metrics, you know, it's not just how many homers did you have? How many hits did you have? Those things are certainly, you know, attention grabbing, but maybe there's other. I don't think Scott Rolen is a Hall of Famer. But if you start, you know, Harold Baines, it's really opened that debate. I think that's why Chris Russo was so passionate about it, is it really does open the door for a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
Frank, how about over the weekend in Lexington, they had a reunion of the 93 Final Four team. And lot of players came back. They said Travis Ford actually cut a video because he was in Houston with the Billikens, but he sent a video. They had a big celebration, but missing was Coach Pitino. And Coach Cal said he had other obligations, that he had some family stuff going on. And it sounds like Pitino probably just didn't want to be there. But he did tweet out, congrats, 93 UK team. Proud of you guys. Love the hell out of you. Thanks, Cal, for reaching out. Much appreciated. And so Calipari kind of went on to say, it's time for Pitino to be welcomed back by Kentucky fans. He said, I'm guessing when Joe B. Hall took over for Rupp, that they weren't crazy about him.
Well, but it's a different story because Pitino ended up at Louisville, the rival school, and beat Kentucky sometimes. And it's a little different story, but that's very nice of Calipari to.
He's apparently really pushing this. In Pitino's last game at Rupp Arena, he lost to Kentucky by 2. They said it ended in dramatic fashion. Video surfaced after the game of Pitino apparently making a gesture to the crowd at Rupp Arena. Pitino denied raising that middle finger to the crowd after the loss, further animosity between Kentucky's fan base and its former coach. But again, Calipari is saying it's time for him to come back, think all the great things he did. It's interesting because I thought of those two as kind of disliking each other.
Yeah, they've never been close. Well, at one time they were close, but yeah.
And he said, I want to have him come back. One of the happiest things for me is when I see Coach Hall, the way he's treated around here, he's like royalty. I'm sure back in the day they weren't as friendly. They look at him now and they would say, who would have followed Adolph Rupp? He's talking about how popular Joe B. Hall is, who's got to be.
Okay. When you said his name, I was just looking it up. Age of Joe B. Hall, and that is 90 years old exactly.
Okay. He's got to be close to that. They won it all in 1978 here at the St. Louis. Yeah. Was it Gene Banks was on Duke? The Rick Roby game.
It's the Jack Gibbons game.
Jack Gibbons.
He had 41 the night the Goose was golden.
The Goose.
Truman Clater, Kyle Macy, Phillips, Gibbons, and Roby, and then with James Phillips off the bench. And Duke had Banks, Spanarkle, Jaminski, Bob Bender.
And who was the Duke coach? It was before K?
Foster, Bill Foster.
Right before K. Only Mandy Murphy could rattle off that starting five for Kentucky in the 78 title. Anyway, they're trying to get Pitino to come back, and of all people, it's Coach Cal trying to make it happen.
How about Jimmy D texting in, every Pitino finish is involved. Every Pitino finish is involved in ends in dramatic fashion.
Quickly too.
And Rick, and then Chris Gardner, Pitino couldn't take 15 seconds to cut a video. Gosh.
Now,
hi, Chris.
It might be somewhat true that I brought up the Pitino story just to see if Gardner happens to be listening to the program, Frank.
That's like our.
Doesn't he have another show to produce?
That's the bat signal for Chris Gardner is a Rick Pitino comment.
I didn't know about the middle finger incident.
I don't remember.
And they
that
said
either.
It was his last one. Video surface. If there is video, and I guess we could all look it up, it would be sort of hard to deny, unless it was the Pat Shermer, just that random itch on his face or nose where he needed to use the middle finger to scratch that itch while Spagnuolo's name was being mentioned.
All right, a couple of quick things. Chris Brown runs a company called Winning Streak. Is your team or club looking for a fundraiser? Let Winning Streak build you a custom fan apparel web store. It's fast, easy, and a great way to raise money while promoting your team. Call or email them today to get the process started. 888-570-6194, winning-streak.com. They're in Dupo, Illinois, and they do the best uniforms, best pullovers, best three-quarter-inch zips in the St. Louis area. We really appreciate them being a part of the program. And, of course, Hollywood Casino is our title sponsor. We were out there last week for the Christmas party at KFNS. And they just do an unbelievable job. 99 Hops House is the place to watch sporting events in St. Louis. 99 different beers to choose from. And the food is outstanding. Final Cut Steakhouse, one of the best steakhouses in St. Louis. And go look at that new construction. They're building the best hockey facility in the St. Louis area. 3 indoor sheets, 1 outdoor sheet of ice at Hollywood Casino. We'll take a short time out. We're coming right back after this.